Our Brussels sprouts, whether we like them or not. Why? Because they were on the plate and you had to eat what was on your plate. Did we eat junk food as kids? Very, very rarely. In fact, I remember being told about, I think it was about Hungry Jack's when I was a young child. I was about 10 or 11. And Dad came home and said, well, next time we went to Perth, we could have a hamburger. And I remember saying to him, one hamburger? That's not going to be enough. Simply because I had no concept of the hamburger in a bun with all the other stuff added to it. Why? Because it was just something we didn't have. And when you did have something that we would now classify as junk food, it was so rare that you forgot how long it was between each of them. We get back to the whole culture that we have nowadays. Something goes wrong, and we have a culture of pointing the finger at someone else and saying it's their fault. So at some point, we're actually going to have to wake up to the fact and say, if you or me or anyone else has got a crap diet, it's our fault. If we're allowing our children or grandchildren to eat or do things they shouldn't do, it's our fault. It's not the fault of somebody else's. As I've said many times before, and I'm only being mildly cynical when I say this, we have a victim culture. And make no mistake about it, there are a lot of people making a lot of money out of creating victims where none exist. In fact, I would argue it's become a lucrative industry. Let's make you a victim, even if you're not. Then we can go and, for example, sue somebody. You get the picture? Malcolm Dawes is an authority on people performance and effectiveness, which means he looks at somebody and says, what are you doing for yourself, rather than the old question of what's somebody doing for me? Malcolm, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome, Chris. Good to speak to you.
How do we go down the path of changing this mindset and perhaps arguably some people allowing themselves to be guided down the path where they believe when anything goes pear-shaped, it's somebody else's fault. Kids are fat, so it's the fault of the junk food industry. Kids are eating too many lollies, so it must be the fault of the supermarkets who have lollies in the checkout aisles. And at no point does anybody turn around, for example, to parents and say, have you people forgotten the meaning of the word no and how to say it? And it just seems to me that we are spending more and more time, for a number of reasons, blaming other people or other entities for things that we absolutely have control over ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems to be pervasive in society now that there's always this sort of finger-pointing and blaming of somebody else, and nobody wants to take responsibility. And as you said in your introduction there, you know, parents, and I'm a parent of three sons, all of whom have grown up now, but you mentioned about the McDonald's and the lollies in the aisle, and when your kid is laying on their back, waving all four limbs in the air, screaming because they want a Mars bar or something, it's the parents' responsibility to stop the tantrum, and it's not Coles or Woolies or Aldi or anybody else to take the lollies away from the aisle. And we see this a lot, not only from a parenting point of view, but also in sport. Dare I mention the ball tampering incident several months ago, where, you know, famously Steve Smith said that it wasn't his fault that the ball was tampered with, it was the leadership. And when I saw him say that, I was sort of shouting at the television, well, you are the leadership, so how can you blame somebody else? We see it in the corporate world where people don't take responsibility for their actions and expect that somebody else should take the blame for something that's gone wrong. So, you know, it is pervasive in society. I think governments encourage it because they take responsibility away from us as adults. What we have to do is to take responsibility, is to have some, what I might call, emotional intelligence and recognize the fact that we do need to take responsibility for our actions and actually sometimes fall on our sword, because at the end of the day, we're only humans and we all do make mistakes and we all can accept the blame for something that was actually our fault.
Well, I think as we go along, Malcolm, and more people are taking less and less responsibility for their own mistakes, and as this is being projected onto younger generations, we're seeing more and more people who are less equipped to be able to deal with the nasties of life when the nasties of life do come and kick them fair and square where it hurts. Hence the reason we have a lot of people now talking about the fact that they're suffering some sort of mental illness and what have you. And you'll have to excuse my scepticism, but I still believe to a very great extent a lot of that is coming from people who can't or were never taught to cope with the fact that sometimes life doesn't deal you a good hand. Sometimes we do make mistakes, and yes, it is our fault, and yes, we have to live with it.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I have done some work with the pharmaceutical industry, and I have done some work with companies that sell antidepressants. And there seems to be an ever increasing need to blame the way people feel on anxiety, anxiousness. You know, I just can't cope anymore. When in fact the reality is, as you rightly say, that you know sometimes life is tough, and there's very often things that we get dealt and we don't quite know how to cope with. We find it difficult, we find it challenging, and that's the reality of life. And you know, we are designed as human beings to see the negative. I mean, that's a security mechanism. We see the negative because that enables us to protect ourselves, and the primitive brain tells us to sort of look out, and we either run from something or we fight it, you know, the so-called fight and flight. But more and more and more, younger people in particular don't seem to use that part of their brain. They blame it on something else, and they look for something to try and resolve that problem. And they often look for things which are medications, you know, antidepressants, and they try and label things. You know, they try and label things as I've got anxiety, when in fact the reality is we all could have anxiety, but if we were to use the newer part of our brain and say, actually, am I really anxious, or is this just a bad hand I've been dealt? Is this just a really difficult, challenging period of my life? Is this a tough week at work? Is it a tough week in my relationship? And I think if people were to encourage their kids and each other in relationships to recognize that, you know, sometimes things are just tough, and you don't need to label it as anxiety or depression or anything like that. You don't need to turn to medication, but you just need to recognize that, you know, sometimes things get really ropey, and, you know, it does improve, but you've got to use your ability to recognize that you can put things right, you can look at things in a positive light. And we're blessed as human beings. We are the only creatures, as far as we know, we're the only creatures who can think about what we've just thought about. There's something to baffle your listeners with. So in other words, if I think that I'm anxious, I can actually stop that thought and say, am I really anxious, or is it just a tough patch I'm going through? And so we've got the ability to do that, but more often than not, we don't, because people haven't been encouraged to do that, because responsibility has been taken away from them throughout everyday life in society.
And I guess also part of the other problem is that we've medicalized it, which you've just identified, because if you can't cope, and if somebody says, oh, it's not your fault, here's a drug to fix it, well, at some point, that's exactly how people are going to respond. And I wonder how much current generations are going to look back at past generations and say, you know, something you did is no favours. Let's, for example, take ourselves and look back at our parents' and grandparents' generation. They fought world wars. And if you look at the way a lot of people are equipped nowadays, they wouldn't be able to cope with it. Yeah, we know stories, and everyone's got stories about how their parents or grandparents came back from a war and they were never quite the same again. But nonetheless, for the most part, they coped because they had to, because nobody said anything other than you've got to deal with it. Whereas now we've gone to the extreme where it's just about nobody deals with anything and nobody can cope with anything. And what's worse, we've got a pill to deal with that, and we could end up with a whole generation of people who are not going to be able to cope with arguably some of the most basic trials and tribulations in life without being medicated. I don't know about you, but I find that alarming.
I agree. I mean, I do find it alarming as well. I have to say that I do believe there are real cases where people do need medication, and there's recognized changes in their psychology and their psychiatry where they do need medication. But I think those cases, I think what happens at the moment is that the medical profession leap to treating people with medication before they do other things. And I think that's partly because there are, you know, there's almost an encouragement now to say, if you've got something wrong, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling all these things, then go and see your doctor. Good idea to go and see the doctor, but I think also GPs perhaps are so inundated with people now, it's so easy to prescribe a medication for that. And I agree with you, it is alarming the number of younger people who do get prescribed medications perhaps a little too quickly. As I say, I'm a parent. My sons are, I mean, I'm very, very proud of them and love them dearly. They've all left home. I'm very fortunate. I'm an empty nester. My wife and I are empty nesters. But, you know, we've been fortunate that they've had their trials and tribulations, and it's great. They phone me now and ask me for advice on certain things. And I think if people can encourage their children of whatever age to talk and to discuss things, and indeed in any relationship, you know, we do leap too quickly to blaming somebody else and looking for a quick fix when there's not always a quick fix. And often the quick fix can be more detrimental in the longer term, i.e. medication, because we then get hooked on these things and find it difficult to cope without something like that.
Yeah, very good point. Malcolm, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for talking to us.
You're very welcome. Thanks very much indeed for having me.
Malcolm Dawes, by the way, is an authority on people, performance and effectiveness.
I'm Gareth Parker from The Morning Program, where the editor of The West, Brett McCarthy, and Deputy Liberal